Well, I'm going to keep talking about our theme this month, and I believe as we read the scriptures, God is still stirring and desiring to stir the hearts of His people, stirring the hearts of man and women, but stirring the hearts of His creation. And last week, as Shannon was preaching, just when she mentioned about stirring the pot in one of her examples, that's going to 2 Timothy chapter 1. She actually referenced this, and so we're going to be reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and you can go there. You don't have to stand yet, but I just wanted to share something with you that, you know, when God stirs our hearts, he's doing something. He's wanting to get our attention. He's wanting to heighten our attention. And I don't know about you, but this past week has just been kind of rough. And of course, Shannon mentioned this morning, and of course, I'm not going to put all the blame on her, although it did sound like she was putting all the blame on her. But anyway, but you know, we go through things, we go through, you know, ebbs and flows, or the highs and the lows in life, and we have to remember who is the one that started the good work in us. And His word says that His desire is to complete it to the end. His desire is for every single one of us, and all of you that are watching online, His desire is that when you stand before Him, God's desire is that you would hear these words, "Welcome into my rest. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest." And because He sent Jesus, I mean, that's what He wants to say to us. He wants us to accept His eternal gift, His gift of love and eternal salvation, which is in Jesus. The title of my message tonight is Keep Stirring. Now, I'm not sure how many of you have a brother or sister, or maybe a close family member that you just like to, you know, push buttons. You just like to you know, their buttons, and you're always stirring the pot, so to speak. So the phrase stirring the pot does have a negative, you know, part to it, that you're just causing trouble. You love to just cause, you know, discomfort and stirring the pot. But what I feel like the Lord's wanting me to talk today about in this teaching is that He's stirring our hearts, not for the bad, but for His good. And when He speaks or reveals things to us and our hearts are stirred, maybe when your heart is stirred, you're broken. Maybe when your heart is being stirred and God's getting your attention, you're getting excited. I'm not sure if you've come across a scripture lately where you've read a scripture and it cuts you. And it's, ouch. And it really causes you to look and reflect, self-reflect, and it causes you to repent. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I didn't realize I was doing this. And Mike touched on this morning about how we can see ourselves and think, man, I'm the greatest, you know, the greatest thing, the best thing next to sliced bread. But really, in reality, when we allow God to speak to us and say, God, what do you see? He says, well, how much time do you have? Because he's going to reveal some things that you and I need to work on, things that we didn't see. And so when He is stirring our hearts, is to cause there to be a reaction. Something is going to happen. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And you stand for the reading. It says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day. So Paul writing this letter to Timothy. Of course, it's 2 Timothy, so it's his second text. But anyway, it's a second letter. And so it says, verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you. Now, I like when someone would actually say the genuine faith. That's something that the world needs to see in each and every single one of us, a faith that is genuine. But I know none of us in this room are perfect. Therefore, we have to go to the Father daily, not weekly, but daily, to make sure that our faith is genuine. It is real. It is not fake and phony, but it is real. Genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. God's already given him a gift. And it says here, Paul is saying, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God That which a gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing God's truth to us. Thank you, Father, for renewing our minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. My first point is this: God stirs hearts for a reason. So this gift that was in Timothy, Paul gave instructions to Timothy to do something. This is what, when God speaks to us or reveals some things to us, it's not so that we can just have it. It's not so that we can just store it up and hold on to it. It's so that we can apply it. It's so that maybe we, if we have Bible studies or discussions with other people, we can share with other people what God has said to us, what God has revealed to us. That's important. Share something. Matter of fact, this week, share something with someone that God spoke to you, whether it was this morning or maybe it was a devotion, maybe it was one of the readings. See, this was something I'm going to share with you that kind of brought, that it was like the Lord was just giving me some, not ammunition, but some stuff to share with you in my preparation for something that God gave me while Shannon was speaking last week about stirring the pot. All of a sudden, I had this thought in my head, and it's going to be a part of my illustration. But God places something in our hearts, and here Paul is given instructions, which I believe it's for all of us, not just for Timothy. Stir it up. Stir up what God has given you. Do something with it. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. And then at verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. See, God planted or gave something to Paul, revealed something to Paul, and Paul's been stirring it up. Stirring it up so much that he says that he's even having some sufferings. Anybody ever have some sufferings before? Okay, God's called you to do something, and you do it, and you walk out, great, good job. But it doesn't really feel good, does it? Because like Shannon mentioned this morning, you got to let go of some things. You got to deny yourself. That doesn't sound very, very exciting, does it? Even James says, count it all joy. I'm thinking, yeah, count it all joy, right? But that's what we're supposed to do, count it all joy. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Jesus even himself came. God used him. God spoke through him. God revealed something to him. Jesus came to reveal things, not something else, not something contrary to what God wanted us to hear, but everything that God wanted us to hear. And Jesus, being the prime example, is showing us that he just didn't just sit there on the side of the mountain and didn't say anything. No, he went out and touched people's hearts. He spoke to people, and their lives were changed. He healed people. He comforted people. He even sat down so that he can welcome kids. And kids, I mean, just picturing in my head. Of course, I've seen all the pictures, but pictures in my head of Jesus gathering some kids. You know, some, you know, loud, rambunctious kids that are probably dirty that maybe other people didn't want. But Jesus welcomed them and said, man, suffer not the children to come. And so my first point is God stirs hearts for a reason. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. You see, when God speaks, his words result in action. It wasn't just when he created the heavens and the earth and everything that we find in Genesis chapter 1. Still, when as we read God's word, his words are living, are they not? Powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Even as we read his word today, it still activates. It should activate something in us. Something to praise, something to repent, and to take action. So when his words result in action, his words have purpose. That's why it results in action. His words have power. That's why it results in action. And it is to impact people. Myself, yourself included. God's words have purpose. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do this? Did he go somewhere and he shaped with his hands? He spoke and it happened. He spoke and out of his words, action took place right after this. No, it didn't take billions and millions of years. God spoke and bang, it happened. I've said this before. That's the true real bang theory there. That when God spoke, bang, it happened. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God says this. Then God said. He didn't do. He didn't create. It says God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Well, when God spoke, man was created. When God speaks, something happens. When he speaks to us, something ought to happen. Something ought to happen. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, thank you, God. Wow, that was an encouraging revelation. Thank you, Lord. I forgot about that verse, but you brought it to my remembrance. As a matter of fact, let's just go to Psalms. Let me put my glasses on. Psalm, verse 7. Psalm 51, sorry, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Now, this passage came during the week, and just having some time with the Lord. And purge me with hyssop. Now, I mentioned, if you remember, I mentioned earlier that this past week was difficult for me. In verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart. So it says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, I was talking to the Lord, and I was just started to sing a song. Just made up a song and just started singing the song and just asking the Lord to fill me and fill me and just, Lord, just give me what you need. I just kind of stopped. And I started thinking about when you change oil, you got to take, you know, the oil plug, and you got to unscrew that, and then you have to release whatever was old. And so from Lord, fill me, and Lord, give me wisdom, or, you know, help me to understand, and fill me, Lord. And I just started to stop and say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, change my attitude. God, change my stinking thinking. And so, you know, this verse, verse 7, purge me. Cleanse me is what I was saying. Lord, cleanse me. Clean me out, God. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. And I just wanted to share this because, you know, when God speaks to us, and I'm not sure about you, but I'm looking for God to speak to him. I'm looking for God to give me instruction. I'm looking for God to give me wisdom. I'm looking for God to give me something that I can, you know, in my distress or in my difficulty and what's going on in my head and in my mind and my thoughts. And I just stopped asking him to fill me because I just realized, Lord, I need you to clean me. Lord, I need you to just, Lord, cleanse me, purge me, Lord. Purge me with hyssop, cleanse me, Lord. And then verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. I just thought I'd just share that with you. And that's just, again, when God speaks to you or shares something with you, find someone to share that with. Now, I know there are some things that God reveals to you you don't want to share with anybody because you don't want to put your dirty laundry out there. But you know what? Okay. But there, God's revealing some stuff to you. And then when he does, you share that with someone else. I encourage you to do that. So when God speaks, something happens. Something about his divine word, something about his spoken word, something about his living word should stir us to respond in a certain way. Should is the key. My second point is that God stirs hearts to bring a change. Why do we hear? Why do we listen? And there are times that we do nothing. Maybe the flesh is in the way. The flesh is in the way because, well, it's too hard. Well, I just don't think I can do it. Well, if God is revealing something to you, you can do it. He's giving you opportunity and time. Hello, McFly. It's an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to repent. It's an opportunity to apply so that, like I mentioned before, asking the Holy Spirit to give us revelation so that we can apply it to our life so that we just don't become hearers and rip ourselves off. Anybody ever go to a vending machine and you put money in there and you push A5 or B2 and nothing happens? Yeah, you might hit it or whatever, you know. When we hear the word and we do nothing, it's like you going back up to that machine and putting another $5 or another dollar bill in that, knowing that it's broken, and yet you still keep ripping yourself B2. And you keep putting money there. When we don't apply with what he's saying, when his word, living word, is being revealed to us and being given to us, something ought to happen. I get convicted sometimes if I don't even underline it. You know, the Lord just causes the words to come up a little bit. They actually don't, but in my mind's eye, they actually come up, and I underline, I write it down. Brother Mike Williams always said, if there's a reference that you know about it, put the reference verse right next to it. That way, when you come across that, and then go to that verse, if it references here in... Lord, help me. Psalm 52, verse 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I got Psalm 34, 18 right next to that. And this is not in my notes, but let's go to Psalm 34, 18. I hope I didn't miswrite it, but Psalm 34, 18. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken spirit and save such as has a contrite heart. And therefore, it ought to have Psalm 52, 17. You should write it on there. Psalm 51, 17. I have it highlighted with a check mark right next to it. And so when God reveals something like that, there ought to be a response when he causes a verse to just come up off the page, highlight it, underline it, then write a verse. So this is my illustration. How many of you have ever made oatmeal? How many of you have ever made grits? If you don't stir it, what happens? Just put leave it on. Now, well, hold on. How many of you have ever made microwave grits or microwave oatmeal? The Southerners will say that is illegal. That is illegal. It's against the law. Don't do that. Okay, so when I met Shannon, our first date, that was the first time I had grits. I never had grits before. Didn't even grow up eating oatmeal or anything like that. The closest thing was like rice pudding. My mom would sometimes make it. But anyway, so that was the first time I ever had grits, and I've eaten it before, but that's just, I'd prefer home fries over grits any day. But anyway, so oatmeal, you know, some of you might have microwaved. If you microwave it, you don't have to stir it. Just put it in there, you know, press start, and then when it's done, you actually, of course, you know, you let it cool off so you can eat it. But when you cook it on the stove, you got to stir it. If you don't stir it, what happens? Burns. Anybody use milk? You burn milk. That don't taste so good. So, but what happens is I mean, you know, the spoon is stuck in there. This is what happens to our heart. It hardens. And this is something that the Lord showed me in Matthew chapter 13. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15. The disciples, they came to Jesus and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And this was Jesus speaking to the people, and he was mentioning about the parable of the soil, of the sower. And so he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Now this might seem like, well, God, why don't you want people to know your truth? God, why don't you reveal it to everybody? Verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The disciples' eyes were open and their ears were hearing because they were disciples of Jesus. They were students of the Master, and they were there to learn. So they were eager to receive. Now I want to go to verse 15, Matthew 13, verse 15. In the King James, it says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Waxed gross. Now that word waxed gross, pakuno, is to make thick. And this is what the Lord was revealing. Their hearts were thick. Their hearts were hardened. It says to make thick, to make fat. Metaphorically, to make stupid or to render the soul dull or callous. This is the reason why they weren't able to hear. Now, I'm not sure if it's going to work, but yeah, okay. Their heart, I'm hoping it doesn't fall out, but their heart has become hard. Their heart has become thick, like it says here, to make fat. Now, I like the skin of chicken. Fried chicken, I like. Some people, they don't. They just peel the skin off, and I think that is illegal. But, I mean, it's tasty, and it's good. But this is where the people's heart was thick, so therefore, their hearts couldn't be stirred. Their hearts have become hardened, thick. You can't stir it anymore. It's because whatever God has been revealing, they took no action. The Lord was showing me that, Rick, your hearts can get like this, where you hear my word that requires action, but if there is no action, like these people that as Jesus was speaking, they couldn't understand because their hearts were hard. Now again, it says in verse 15, let's go back. Their hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull. The word dull, baros, heavily, with difficulty. It was difficult for them to hear. Why? Because what they were hearing, they didn't want to change. What they were hearing, they didn't agree with. What they were hearing made no sense to them, and why am I going to continue to listen? Therefore, it says in verse 15, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. It doesn't say that God closed it. They have closed. This is what can happen to us. As God is speaking to us, as God has given us revelation. Now, I don't expect everybody, although there would be some services if that happened, that would be awesome. But I don't really expect everybody that it is a requirement for everybody to come to the altar every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. But I do hope and pray that if it's not at this altar, it's at their seats, that they've made an altar, they've closed themselves and everybody around, and they're making an altar at their seat, and they're talking to God. Oh, Father, forgive me. Oh, God, thank you for this word. Oh, God, thank you for that confirmation of your word today. And I'm writing it down as you're speaking to me. That there is response to God's word. There are times that I've prepared and I've prayed and I'm expecting the floodgates to open and everybody come to the altar, and maybe two or three come. And I've gotten to the point that I don't hold it against anybody, because I've done what God has wanted me to do. I prayed and I felt like that's what the scriptures that God wanted me to cover. I felt like that's what God wanted me to say, and I said it, and now it's the Holy Spirit is that will do the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that will do the revealing in the seats. That if only two people came, then God is working on them. But that doesn't omit that God's not working in everybody else's heart or the people that are watching online. And I just leave it to the Holy Spirit, because I know the Holy Spirit, whether it's at 2 p.m. later on or 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit will speak, he will reveal the truth, and then it's the people's responsibility to bring action. Will they reject? Will their hearts become hard? Will their hearts become thick like fat? Will their ears become difficult of hearing? Will they close their eyes because they choose not to listen? They choose not to look. They choose to close their eyes because they choose not to see what God is wanting them to see. And that sounds kind of crazy, right? God is revealing something, And yet you would be like, no, I'm not seeing it. No, I'm not looking. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. It is possible that while God is trying to stir our hearts, your life into action as he speaks to us, as he reveals his truth, that we can choose not to respond and we end up with hearts, like I was saying, hearts that are thick, ears that are difficult to hear, and eyes that we have shut. And then we're not able to see the truth. Not able to see what God is revealing. Not able to see who we really are, like Mike was talking about this Sunday morning in Sunday school. Not able to see who we really are. Not able to see what we have become or who we are becoming. So Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. My third point is God stirs our hearts to keep us moving, to keep us pliable. See, God doesn't want your heart to become like 2-hour-old oatmeal. Now, for my illustration, I want to just let you know, I put it in the freezer so that I hope that it wouldn't fall out as I tipped it over. So it's in the freezer, but you guys get the illustration, right? Okay, let's continue. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1. The word of the Lord, wasn't Jeremiah's, it was the Lord's. The word of the Lord. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I have thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which, with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. The sad part, we're not going to go to the next verse, but the sad part is that in the next verse we find that the people rejected his warning. That's nothing different than people hearing God's word and doing nothing with it. It's about the same thing. That when people hear God's word and they just become hearers of his word and not doers, they deceive themselves. They think they're okay. There's no need to change. There's no need to respond. There's no need to beat my heart and say, oh God, forgive me, and really mean it. I'm here, aren't I? Isn't that what, you know, sometimes we're pulled to go to, you know, uncle's house, or we're pulled to go to a family reunion, and we just don't look like we're actually having a good time. Well, I'm here, aren't I? You know, and that ought not to be the heart of God's people when we come to his house. But that we come receptive and ready to receive, so that what we receive, whatever it is, even if it's one nugget of truth or a whole bucket barrel full of truths, that we actually apply it, that we actually do something with it. Why? Because the Lord is speaking to us. The Lord is revealing something to us. So again, when the Lord speaks and reveals, action ought to happen. There's something that should happen. Evidence was found that their hearts were hardened to the truth of God's word, to the truth of God's warning. See, God wanted Jeremiah, and here God wants us tonight, to see the intent of the potter. I'm not sure if you missed it, but let's go back to verse 3 and 4. Jeremiah says, then I went down to the potter's house because the Lord told him to. So he's already responding because the Lord spoke to him and he's acting. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So what vessel was he making? Was he making a teapot? Was he making a vase, a vase? What was he making? A cup, a plate? Something, a vessel. Something to pour something in. Something to put in. That's what a vessel is. Even a plate could be, a bowl could be a vessel. Something that you pour something into. Something that holds something else. God is wanting us to be his vessels. And it says here that the potter, it says, as it seemed good to the potter to make. I'm not sure about you, but my God makes good things. Great things. And he fills it with good things and great things. He fills it with purpose. He fills it with power. Because that which he wants to do with that vessel is for his good. It is for his good pleasure. It is for his intent and not our own. Therefore, we can't, as the vessel, look at the potter and say, why'd you make me like this? I didn't want to be a vase. I wanted to be a bowl. Why can't I be like him? And why can't... Don't we do that sometimes? We catch ourselves. Hopefully you catch yourself and you stop doing it. You look at somebody else. So you look at what's going on there. You look at what's going on down the street. And I catch yourself. Pray and ask the Lord to help you to catch yourself so that you don't do that. But that you look at the potter and you say, man, I'm pretty good, aren't I, God? You made good things. No, I'm just joking. But Lord, you made good things. So thank you, Father. Let's reflect on this passage, though. It seemed good to the potter to make because the vessel has purpose. When our hearts are stirred, we need to stir it. We need to keep moving. Take action of his word. Take action with his revelation. You see, when we as God's people take action to what God says, we begin to walk in purpose. I think I missed out on... I wanted to mention this. I went to on the internet in WebMD. How many of you have ever had this experience in a quiet room, maybe, you know, in class, students, and your stomach begins to grow? And it's a little embarrassing because, you know, you're around a bunch of people and it's quiet and you just broke, you know, the silence. Well, WebMD calls it borborygmi. It's the loud sound. It's an embarrassing sound sometimes. From our stomach, the air in our stomach, along with the sounds of digestion, causes this to be heard. It's not so much that you are hungry, although some myths do say that it's because you're hungry, but it's also because there's the digestion process that's going on in your stomach, and there's some air there. One person even said that there's not really lots of facts about this, but how many of you have ever had a parent that said, quit eating with your mouth full, quit talking with your mouth full? Because when you talk, when we eat, air comes in, air goes down our throat with food. And so, but there's air and there's food and there's digestive and, you know, all that stuff's going on in your stomach and in your intestines, and it causes that sound to happen. So it's not so much that you are hungry and your body's telling you to eat, because really, we don't even, in America, we have no idea what hunger feels like. We have no idea what hunger feels like. So if you ever open the refrigerator door and be like, man, I'm hungry. No, you're not. Close that door. You're not really hungry. You might want a little snack, but we have no idea what hunger feels like. But this is what happens. And it's a reaction of what's going on in our stomach, that, you know, the digestive process, that we end up thinking, oh, I'm hungry. And there was a doctor who actually said that eating a snack could help take away that sound, but, you know, there's other things going on. And I share that because God is wanting to pour, God has placed something in us, and there are times that we take it for something else that it's not. But when God is trying to stir our hearts, like, be more nice, be nice to people, be more open to people, be more open to reach out to people. And sometimes we just don't want to because, well, I just don't want to say something stupid. I don't want to say anything that I really want to say, or I just don't know what to say. But if God is stirring our hearts to share truth or to share Christ with others, it's important that we do so. And this month we're talking about missions. God is stirring our hearts for missions. If God is stirring your hearts, then keep stirring it. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you revealing to me? Whether it's how much more should I increase, or how much should I give, or how much should I start praying for our missionaries? One of the things that we pray for on our prayer list We have a list of missionaries that we pray for, but this is one of the things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to put on the prayer list in the beginning of the year. 100% of the members of Hidden Treasures would be faithful in their tithes, in their offerings, and their mission support. And really, the main thing is not, Shannon and I, we don't get rich off of this. The main thing is so that you would be that continuous flow of God's blessings, that conduit of God's blessings, that what God is giving you, that you begin to just let it flow to other people, and that you are actually doing what God is leading you to do. So it doesn't benefit Shannon and I, because like Shannon was saying this morning, God is our source. But if you learn to be that conduit of blessings, Lord, all that I have is yours. All that I am, it is yours. So as you speak to me, reaction, something happens. Action will take place right after. Somehow, we believe as believers, hopefully you do, and that'd be good if you do, that when God created the earth, that God created the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, and everything else, that God created that, and he created it as he spoke. Yet he's still doing something. Yet his words are still requiring action and action from us. And I pray that we learn. Again, my first point is that God's, that God stirs our hearts for a reason so that something can happen, action can happen. God stirs hearts to bring change in us so that, and this is remarkable to me every time I think about it, that he wants to use us. Really, he wants to use me and all of my, shortcomings and all of my difficulties. He wants to use me. Sometimes that is like mind-boggling. Wow. But he wants to use me. He wants to use you. And again, God stirs our hearts to keep us moving and pliable so that we can say, Lord, not my will be done, but let your will be done. Because I want to be God's people that takes action in what you say so that I can walk with purpose to accomplish your task, to reflect your glory, O God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We magnify you, O God. We pray, Father, that we would allow our hearts to be pliable. Lord, that our hearts, as you, Lord, speak to us, Lord, and you reveal your truth to us, Lord, as you're stirring something within us, Lord, that we continue to stir up that gift that you've given us, that we continue to stir up those words that you, that revelation you've given to us, Lord, so that we can take action, so that you could do what you want to do in us, Lord. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would be used by you. Because we're more concerned with what you have to say, with what you want to do, than with whatever we can say or do. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.